This is Joan.
Morning.
Joan is an owner-operator truck driver.
Yep, hauling some produce today.
She doesn't have the time to fool around.
Ooh, so true.
Joan traded up to Geico Commercial Insurance for serious 360 coverage, not just for her truck, but for her cargo. She can even get serious savings for her inspection history.
So, where's the Geico twist? Is Napoleon gonna come out driving a forklift?
Bonjour!
No, this is a serious Geico ad.
Oh, no. Au revoir!
Get more with Geico Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the last episode of Post Perez ever. No, I'm just kidding. of 2024. This is the December 2024 episode of Post Perez. My name is W.H. Park. I am still extremely jet lagged, so apologies ahead of time if I seem a bit out of it. That's because I'm still on Japanese time because I just came back this past Monday. And we are recording on a Friday night. Karen, myself, and the Empress, Karen Peterson.
Hello.
Hello, Karen. How are you?
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I think people want to hear a bit about my trip, maybe.
I mean, so we'll talk about that. I lived vicariously through your Instagram.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I was very jealous.
We'll talk about my trip. We're going to talk about a lot of upcoming shows. We're going to talk about World Tag League. The finals have been set. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Wrestle Kingdom. And my thoughts on that. Things I heard from a friend who's going to the show. What he paid for his tickets, which is I just laughed. When he told me the news, I was like, yeah. It's a low price, but that's what they're going to need to. By they, I mean New Japan Pro Wrestling. Going to need to try to move any tickets for this show. Outside of the hardcores who'd go anyways. Doesn't matter the price. They're going to go anyways. But, speaking of ticket prices, I've had people tell me the Elimination Chamber is happening in Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Is it a Ticketmaster event? Because Ticketmaster, or is
it? Oh, yeah, it's totally a Ticketmaster. So it's totally gouging you. But I originally thought it was going to be held at the former Air Canada Center, now known as the Scotia Bank Arena.
Yeah,
where the Raptors play and the Maple Leafs play. Yeah. No, it's in the fucking Sky Dome, where WrestleMania 6 was held.
Wow. Is that,
and I couldn't believe
outdoors,
it.
Or it's indoors, right?
It's a dome.
Yeah.
It's a stadium.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's a dome. So you can close it, right?
Yeah. We don't have many of those here in Florida. Everything's open air. Right. Everything's outside.
So you can't do that in Toronto. Yeah. Certainly not.
That was it's not outside, is it?
It's where Taylor Swift fucking played. Okay.
I mean,
it's good. That's how big it is.
Let's be honest.
It's how big it is, right? Yeah. So, nothing below the lower bowls is less than $500. $500 is your lowest point, and then you just go up.
Yeah.
And I just said to people, who is paying that?
Not
who is
I.
Paying that? You couldn't. You first of all, I don't want to give TKO any money, right?
Yeah.
Especially not a live event. I'm probably never going to another, live wrestling event from a major like AEW or WWE ever again if prices continue this way. Like WWE, definitely, I'm never going to another one.
I'm only going if I'm comped. So if you know somebody who has tickets, let me know.
Hey,
I have a dog to feed. I can't be
credentials. We should get credentialed. Not me, but
for something. WWE, I would love to hear your thoughts.
I once watched an entire episode and reviewed it of Raw with John Pollock and Wei Ting because they thought that would be funny because we could watch it at 11 a.m. in the morning in their hotel room in Ryogoku. And it's in the archives, Karen. You can go find it. 2020. me reviewing Raw. I talked about Otis, my thoughts about Otis at that time, if people are interested.
God, 2020 was so... That was 4 years ago, man. That was so long ago.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be 5 years ago soon.
that was our incidental run in by the elevators at Cora.
If only you knew how important myself, John Pollock, Wei Ting would be to your career.
And I'm so thankful for it every single day.
No, but I'm just saying, it would have been funny. It's like you say, like if you just walked whisked by us and it's like, but if you knew, you probably would have spent a little bit more time talking to us.
I had people to impress. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you had a nice kimono on. I remember that.
My friend gave it to me for a welcome back to Japan present and made my obi. So I can't be too mad at it.
Of course.
The only thing I was mad about was the lack of lockers in that damn area put my change of clothes in.
Oh God. Can I just give you a piece of advice? I had stuff stolen from a locker in the Tokyo Dome area.
Shut up.
So never put shit in the Tokyo Dome locker in that area where it's open because there's no cameras around. Okay, this one.
Good to know.
So if you're going to do
travel pro tips.
If you are going to put one, just keep your shit with you. That's my big advice. Or just keep it at your hotel or wherever you're staying.
Yeah.
Two, if you are going to bring something and you want to put it in the locker, do it at the station. The station coin lockers are the most secure.
I do love me a JR station locker.
So, because there's always staff, there's cameras everywhere. The thieves are not going to hit it.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to stop talking about it because, like, it actually just brings back painful memories of the things I got stolen from me that day.
Oh, bud.
But anyways. Okay, so really a lot of tangents here. My trip, I was in Japan for about 20 days. Oh, my God. It's so long. But I had a good time. I start off in Osaka. Okay. First of all, my flight. Okay. Toronto to Tokyo. It was okay. Like full flight, but I had a comfortable seat.
Who did you fly with?
Air Canada. If I tried flying JAL or ANA, no. Like
it's like four times the amount to fly on those.
So Air Canada is fine. Great gate staff. They're really boarding gate people. Fantastic. The person at the boarding gate said the most ironic thing to me in hindsight because she said, I got a connecting flight to Osaka. I only got looks like 90 minutes to get to it. Like she's like, oh, don't worry. They're efficient over there at Haneda. Unlike Pearson. And I'm not a fan of Pearson Airport, but let me tell you how wrong she was. First of all, okay. I was not informed that you can make your life easier as trying to get into Japan with a QR code that you need this Visit Japan app on. I did not know this. So I did not have a QR code when I landed.
No.
Second, they did not give me, usually when I go to Japan, I am given the disembarkation slip and the
customs. They don't do that anymore either. It's all electronic.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no, they didn't give me any of that. But guess what I had to do? Because I had to go get the physical cards and along with 200 other fucking people and try to.
They didn't have them on the plane or they just didn't distribute them?
They didn't have them on the plane. I had to physically. So I'm now scrambling to fill this thing up because I'm
have a connecting flight.
I have a connecting flight to Osaka and I'm just sweating. I'm just so upset. And I'm so upset.
Did they have all the lanes open? Because there have been times where I've landed in Haneda and we had to wait forever.
The lanes were open. They had it well staffed in that sense. But it's just do they have enough pencils? No.
No.
Or pens? No. No.
Nope.
And I'm trying to find the one I always keep on me. But my panic. I'm like.
Always keep two or three hotel pens or pens you don't care about either in your backpack or if you have a satchel that you carry on your person or even with your passport, tuck one in there and then just shove it in your wallet or whatever.
Exactly. Don't make my mistake, folks. Don't make my mistake. Then, okay.
Do your research before you leave.
I finally clear mitigation and now I got to get my suitcase, right? And I'm like, okay, there it is. Okay, I got 40 minutes. Maybe I can make it. You know? No. Now I have to get through customs. Guess what? I got to fill out another fucking form.
And they have that screen. They have a touch screen thing too, right? Or
I had to fill out the form. I had to fill out a form.
You didn't pre-clear.
I didn't. No, I didn't know I could fucking pre-clear. They didn't tell me the fucking QR code. So guess what? Long story short, I clear customs. Like they go okay, and then there's the ANA because my connecting flight is ANA domestically within.
Yeah,
I have to go to ANA and there's a lineup.
Yeah.
To check your bag in.
And you have to check everything. You can't really carry much of anything on.
No, I took my carry-on. That was fine. Like my carry-on, like suitcase. The small
Did you travel with a check bag as well? Or is it just.
Yeah, I did check as well. Yeah. But I get there and they're like, Mr. Park, you're not making the 6 o'clock. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then, but they were like, we can get you on the 7. Like, that's fine. Like, we have room. We can get you on the 7. Is that okay? I'm like, no, that's fine. At this point, as long as I get out to there by the evening, like,
yeah,
because my friend's waiting for me. I'm staying with my friend in Osaka. Then I said, and that gives me a huge window of time.
To right? Do something.
more to, like, just get to the fucking gate.
Yeah.
Because I had to take a shuttle bus from the terminal I'm at.
Which to is the domestic terminal.
The domestic terminal, right? So that's fine. It's such a huge relief. And then, okay, so now let's get to the terminal. It's fucking busy. And my connecting flight that, you know, I missed the 6 o'clock one because that was on fucking time. This one is delayed by like half an hour and it's wrecked. And I'm like, when are they going to let us board? I have no idea. Anyways, get on. It's an hour. They said, middle seat. Is that okay? I'm like, I don't care. It's only an hour.
Yeah.
Not even. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. Just get me on the fucking plane. Listen, they're doing their best. I'm not blaming them, but you know, it's just like, anyways, okay. So that's Osaka. Meet my friend. It takes about an hour to get to his place. From Itami Airport, I didn't go to Kansai International because it's too far out from where he lives. But my God, I've never seen Osaka from the ground, from the air, at night. Oh my God. And like, I'm talking about the city.
Yeah.
Not the outskirts. I'm talking about the city. It's amazing. I just forget how big, how sprawling Osaka is.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You like Tokyo is one thing. And then you get to Osaka and it's like, shit, Osaka's a scale. Of Osaka's pretty much just rivals.
Yeah.
Tokyo. But anyways, I had a nice time in Osaka, 2 days. Great. Kaiten sushi after 4 years being away. Fantastic. Convenience store food. 7-Eleven, of course. 7-Eleven, you know, 7 Holdings. If you want to fucking sponsor Post Perez and just, we will eat fucking onigiri on air. How about that? Huh?
I will
fucking endorse that. You just send us.
I will turn my back on Lawson's if we get 7-Eleven. Right. I'm flexible. Right?
You want us to give us some fucking melon pan? Fucking just, I'll fucking display it right there. Even if John Wayne say, hey, you can't be doing that. We gotta get, don't worry guys, you'll get your cut. Okay. Get your fucking cut. Anyways. Then it's Hiroshima to see a friend, one of my oldest friends in Japan. Hiroshima, and then she says, oh, you know, she's taking care of the next few days, and she's like, well, we're going to go to Shimane, which is like a beautiful area.
Totori. Love it.
Right, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful area, right? And I go to Izumo Shrine, which is like one of the most famous Shinto shrines in the country, and that's where I pick up my stamp book, the Goshuincho. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That's going to be I didn't plan this, but I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try to collect as many stamps as I can while I'm in Japan. And so, like, if you followed me on Instagram, you people will see I updated every stamp I got, every Taisha / shrine, Jinja / temple that I went to. Some really great ones in Shizuoka Prefecture.
Yeah.
That I highly recommend, especially the ones in Fujinomiya, which is like very, a town very deeply connected with Mount Fuji, because you can take the shuttle bus from there to get up to the fifth station of Mount Fuji if you want to climb it, which I've never wanted to climb Mount Fuji because I've heard countless friends tell me what it's like to climb Mount Fuji. And I was like, No, thank you.
There was a time where it was on my bucket list, but the older I get, I'm like, I don't think I'm cut out for it. I'm not rugged enough to check that off on my list.
Listen, folks, if you want to do it, I get it. I totally understand. But for me, like, having my soul cry from pain is not something that's on my bucket list. So
if you want to go do something crazy on a mountain in Japan, go in the summertime, go to the Fuji Rock Festival and be drunk up on the side of a mountain, like at a festival for 4 days. It's a good time. I had a great time when I went. But yeah, no, I love that you went to Izumo because that was one of the first shrine experiences I had when I went to Japan. And it was like, you know, in Tottori, which is right next to Shimane, I had to take a local train to get there. So it was like 2.5 hours one way, walk all the way to the shrine.
I mean,
train all the way back.
Here's the thing. I don't know where the trains were in Shimane / Matsui / wherever the fuck
Matsui,
I was.
Yeah, they are few and far between. They are not, it's not like your big cities.
No.
You're like one an hour.
It like that area is Inaka as fuck. You know, if you want to know what
I was Inaka as fuck, so I know. Right?
It's like countryside as fuck, and
like all of your aesthetic anime, like Ghibli movies or whatever that are like in the countryside. That's Shimane and Tottori.
That's yeah. It's great. It's great. It's so refreshing.
Yeah, it's very, very
to be there.
Small town.
And then from there, I went to Nagoya to see one of my
such a great city.
See, I'm not a fan.
Really?
I'm not a fan. Well, I did my training there. You know,
that would probably be my Ikawa
training there. I lived in a hotel for a week and it was mentally exhausting. Mentally, emotionally exhausting that being in Nagoya. So I don't really have fond memories
of
Nagoya.
It
was fine. My 2 days there, fine, stayed with friends like my friend Eric and his wife Mika and their daughter Emma, who's 10. And I was like, do you remember me? She's like, yeah, because last time I saw her, she was like 5. So. It's great. She's such a lovely young girl and just turning into a great human being. So I was really happy to you know, stay there for a couple of days. And then it was Shizuoka for 10 days in Numazu, you know. And
I was like, you were in Numazu for a while.
I was in there for about 2 weeks. And then first half of that is with a friend, which, you know, I'll say this because probably not going to be listening to this. She's not going to hear this. But, you know, I appreciate the hospitality, but I was just like, you know what? I should have planned. This is my fault entirely. I should have planned this better. I should have just stayed there for 2 days instead of like 5 because I don't have any freedom of movement. My schedule is dependent on their schedule.
Yeah.
Right. On their schedule. It's not that easy to, it was like a 20 minute walk from her house to the closest train station that I needed to get to. All this stuff. And it was fine. I appreciate it. But at the same time, it was like, I should have planned it better. So my second week I was in a hotel, and let me tell you, when I got to that hotel room, I was like so happy. One, I just have privacy now.
Yeah.
It's just me in the space and I can just do what I want. It was such a convenient location. I got to see so many people. It was great. So anyways, I did get food poisoning. If you have not eaten yakiniku, in 4 years, you might want to just take it easy. Don't get what we call horimon, right?
You don't like horimon?
No, I do, but I ordered it.
You got to cook it right, though.
Yes, I don't cook it right. So for those who don't know, horimon is intestines, right? And you got to cook the shit out of that thing, literally, or you're going to pay for it. And I paid for it, right?
For 3 days,
for 2.5 days, 3 days. At one point, I thought I was going to die. That's how bad it was. I thought, I'm going to die in this fucking hotel in Numazu after my triumphant return to the city. You know, 4 days before I go back to Canada. Anyways, last 2 days, I survived, got some medication, did wonders, went to Yokohama, went to the area of Ebina. Beautiful. They just built this massive fucking shopping entertainment complex called Lalaport, which is a brand. And it was just so nice. And I saw several friends, and, you know, my one friend, Sean, he has a car. So he took us to like a couple of shrines that I could get some stamps at. It was fun. So anyways, and then I went to Haneda on Monday. I went to Haneda Shrine. I had some time. I prayed at Haneda Shrine. I got my stamp. And my God, that, because my flight was delayed. I got the notification from Air Canada.
You and your flight delayed.
2 hours. It was going to be, I'm like, fuck. Okay, instead of 7 p.m. Japanese time, I'm going to be leaving 9 p.m. Japanese time. I'm like, oh. But after I got back to the airport, after I prayed at Haneda Shrine, which is like their stamps actually have airplanes on them because they're so close to the airport.
They sure do.
And then I get to the airport and it's like, oh, your flight, your delayed flight has now moved up 1 hour. So I'm not delayed 2 hours. I'm just delayed 1 hour. Perfect. Then I get on the plane, smooth, no problem. And I'm like, it's, you know, I'm sitting where I want to sit. I got the aisle seat. There's someone in the window seat. The middle seat is empty.
We love an empty middle seat. We love that.
Airplane gods were kind to me. I had leg room. I had elbow room. It was fucking great. One of the smoothest 13-hour flights I've ever been on. And now I'm back in Toronto. I'm jet-lagged as fuck. But guess what? I'm talking about Japanese fucking pro wrestling with Karen fucking Peterson, the Empress herself. And I'm going to get through the next 40 minutes, hopefully.
40 minutes? That's ambitious.
We're going to try to get this done in the next 40 minutes. All right.
We're doing now, a speed run, baby. Let's go.
Bruce Lord is listening to this. He says, well, good luck. And he's clinking glass of bourbon or fucking drinks. There you go. Is it bourbon? You do shows with them all the time. I can't remember.
He's a Scotch guy.
Okay.
Bourbon's more of a Southeast sort of thing, or Southeast sort of thing. So like,
I think Pollock's a bourbon guy.
Really?
Maybe. I feel that way.
We're all having a
conversation. I don't drink anymore. I don't
shower beers. So
listen, the last time I had hard liquor was in Pollock's backyard. And I just said, you know what? I'm good. Occasional beer, but I'm pretty much going to be a teetotaler from now on.
Hey. If it makes you happy, man,
it doesn't make me happy. With me. Not drinking makes me happy. It really does. Anyways, again, occasional beer, no problem. Hard liquor, man, probably not.
I'm getting more selective the older I get. I don't have time for cheap, bad alcohol.
Exactly.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from Geico for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big Geico surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious Geico ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with Geico Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Anyways, let's get on to today's show. A lot to talk about, but we're going to try to do it in the next 39 minutes. First of all, I want to make a note about a passing of a pro res legend, Mighty Inoue. He passed away on November 27th due to a ventricular fibrillation. He was 75 years old. He was a kind of a mainstay of Japanese wrestling from 1967 when he made his debut. Some of his accolades include being the IWA world champion when he beat superstar Billy Graham in October of 1974. He would go to win the IWA world tag team titles with several partners, most famously with Animal Hamaguchi, who, of course, is one of the most famous trainers of wrestlers in the history of Japanese pro wrestling. When IWA collapsed and then you had the formation of New Japan, All Japan, he stuck his gun. He hitched his wagon to Giant Baba. He would go to All Japan Pro Wrestling, where he would be an active competitor in their junior heavyweight league. And then he would retire from, and then he would become like a comedy wrestler in the, you know, like along with Rush Kimura and Haruka Igen and tons of other people. He would retire from active competition in the late 1990s and became a referee, in which, you know, he retired from refereeing in May of 2010. So that's our quick biography of an obituary of Mighty Inouye. If you want to see a great one, I do recommend John Pollock's obituary, which you can find at postwrestling.com. So just type in Mighty Inouye in the search bar and you'll see his article. Great. A lot of great information that he researched for that obituary on Mighty Inouye. So let's then move on to upcoming shows. So we're going to first talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, Karen. And we have the finals of the World Tag League set. And then from this Sunday, December 8th, at the Grand Messe Kumamoto, we are going to see the match you and I have been clamoring for, a tag match for the ages, Gabe Kidd and the newly turned heel, recently turned heel, Sonata. Why? Eric Marcotte, I'm sorry. I know you're feeling the pain of your boy, say a Sonata, lining himself with the Bullet Club, with the War Dogs. Why? It doesn't make any sense. Have you figured out why, Karen?
The only thing I can think of is that Gabe Kidd needed a tag partner for Tag League and Jake Lee is out injured. That's the only thing I've got. And maybe they're going to do the All Japan connection between the two of them. That's all I can figure out. Other than that, there is no reason that War Dogs and Bullet Club need to be adding any more people. They need to be releasing some people back into the wild.
Well, they need to be releasing some people out into the unemployment field, in my opinion. But hey, sorry.
Wild is a very broad term.
But that's either here nor there. Anyways, so it'll be Gate Kid and Sonata taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón, the main team of Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi, who secured the B block in a three-way. How did they do it? Is it a three-way dance or some shit?
I think that's what it was. I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch any tag league.
I did not either. Bruce Lord is the better person between he and I, and he watched all of it, so I didn't have to.
You know what? You might be the best person, but you and I are the smarter people. What?
You were on vacation. I have no vacation. Excuse this other than being overworked.
That's a good excuse, too. It's not an excuse. It's a reason.
Yeah. I've been perpetually burnt out since May.
You know, I got to say, I did see a clip of the ending of the evil Ren Narita versus Naito Takahashi match from the league match from December 4th.
Yeah, I watched it today too.
And I was like, I honestly thought Hiromu was going to turned on Naito. Like the super kick was pretty good. And I was like, okay, oh shit, he joined? What the fuck?
That would have been a good way to have really, really good stakes to get that Hiromu versus Naito match. But I did like that he wove in an apology in the middle of doing all the things.
Yeah.
He was very busy for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, he then turns on Evil and Narita, giving them super kicks, and he just immediately goes over and says, Gomenasai. Naito-san, Gomenasai. I'm so sorry. But yes, and so there you go. You know, the funny thing is about Evil and Hiromu is that they're dojo mates, right?
Yeah.
Along with Desperado. Yeah. I always thought it would be, when you have connections like that, I want to see that played out on screen.
Someday.
I thought, you know, a non-bullshit Evil, like who wrestles like when he was in LIJ with Hiromu, with Desperado as open weights or heavyweights.
Oh,
would be a great unit to have.
Yes,
you know?
Please. Yes, please. Pretty please.
If anyone's
listening.
Oh, they're listening, Karen. They just don't care what we think or how we feel about the product.
I can make you money. I have so many good
totally
ideas.
Listen, you and I, between the two of us, I think if they gave us the pencil, we that company, no one will be talking about fucking AEW. Tony Khan and his fucking insanity. you know, they'd still be talking with WWE because that's a $1 billion company and they're going to be on fucking Netflix soon. But they would, they'd be talking about, shit, this product's actually good again. Anyways.
Did you see that they released the whole card for the rest of Sunday's Sunday?
I did not. What else do we have to look forward to?
I mean, you have a hot opener with Tiger Mask taking on Young Lion Daiki Nagai. A tag match with, this is basically going to be like all the guys on Tag League get on the card sort of thing. Katsuya Murashima and Shoma Kato are going to go up against Oh How the Mighty Don't Kneel Have Fallen, Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste. Then there's a tag match between Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto against Stevie and Tomei Philip from Australia. Then Taka Michinoku, Doki and Taichi will take on Jacob Austin Young, Jeff Cobb and Great Okan. Bushi, Yota Tsuji and Shingo Takagi will take on Kenta, Chase Owens and Ghetto. There is a massive, massive 10-man tag with Hiroshi Tanahashi, Toru Yano, Oleg Bolton, Tomoaki Homa and Jado versus Evil Renderita, Yujiro Takahashi, John Pollock's favorite wrestler, Sho, my favorite wrestler, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. The semi-main is Shota Umino, Alex Zane, and Ryusuke Taguchi versus Zack Sabre Jr., Ryohei Oiwa, and Kosei Fuja. And then the main is the World Tag League 2024 finals between Gabe Kidd and Sonata against Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi.
All right, so prediction time. Who is winning World Tag League? Because we're going to assume that they're going to get the World Tag Team title shot at Wrestle Kingdom.
See, the problem is that right now, I think Hanare and Great Okan are still slated to defend the IWGP Tag Championships against the Young Bucks at Wrestle Dynasty. So whoever wins, I feel like they're either going to get shoehorned into that match or because Wrestle Kingdom, I mean, it's always long, but I don't know if they would defend them, especially if Hanare is not back to 100% by January, since right. He's out with an ankle injury. My gut says it's going to be Gabe Kidd and Sonata, if only because everyone keeps talking about a singles match between Naito and Hiromu. But I mean, I could see Naito and Hiromu win the thing because Naito's, you know, been an IWGP tag champion before. I just don't know if they would put a heavyweight belt on Hiromu. If they do, he has to go heavyweight after this. He can't stay in the juniors.
So we're thinking that they haven't announced. We're going to talk about what's been announced so far for Wrestle Kingdom next. But do you don't think that they've announced all the matches yet?
I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's already 8 matches that have been announced.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be the obligatory New Japan Rambo or just a Never Gauntlet for the 6-man.
It'll be the pre-show, right? Like, we're talking about the main show after, like, they go on air.
Yeah, there are 8 matches on the main card as of right now. I mean, I guess you could announce 1 or 2 more, but other than Evil versus Tanahashi, every match is a title match, which I mean makes it kind of interesting. So
I mean, I don't think it really matters what the tag title match is on a Dynasty. Who the champions are is the main point of that is that the winner faces the Young Bucks, right?
Yeah,
in kind of interpromotional match. So it doesn't matter if it's like Hanare and Great Okan, especially if Hanare is legit injured, then they're gonna probably like, okay, we're gonna take the belts off of him.
Yeah.
And they'll make the tag team title match, if there's going to happen at Wrestle Kingdom, that they're going to make that probably to fill a vacancy. Like they're going to say, okay, you two are the top teams. You're going to face for the whoever wins this match is going to be the new champions. There's definitely going to be a new champion.
The only thing that sucks about that is that it kind of undoes the whole point of World Tag League. Like they just had this tag league and it's just like, oh, by the way.
Karen, I mean, There's a point to World Tag League?
What?
There's an actual point to World Tag League? I don't think there's any point to World Tag League, to be honest with you.
Bishamon was winning it, god dang it.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just something they put on the calendar. Yes, before there was a point to it.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's just, they just do it to fill out the calendar.
If they want to put Shane and Mikey in that slot, I'm not going to be mad at it.
Why not?
As the former champions.
Sure. Why not, right? Yeah. So I'm gonna agree with you. I do think probably they're gonna do Night. If you think Naito is actually, you know, on his last, like, his last legs, so to speak, and he's going to, like, you know, immediately try. You have to do the singles match, and he has to put Hiromu over. Yeah. That has to be the thing where maybe that's the booking impetus for him to become a heavyweight is like he beats Naito, and Naito says, "Well, you have to go as far as you can. You have to fill my shoes.
Yeah,
you have to become a heavyweight and win the world heavyweight title at some point in your career." So, and that's a great story. Like you build it. I think people would come back to the product if, like, because he's such a beloved character. If you give him a purpose. You know, like, I'm talking about Hiromu, of course. Like,
yeah, he's run out of things to do in the junior division, other than now he's booking his own shows. But, I mean, he really needs, if anything, bare minimum, an open weight run. But I would love to see him go fully heavyweight.
Listen, I mean, how much bigger is Ren Narita compared to him? Not that much bigger.
I think the only difference is that Ren has the height. I think he's taller than Hiromu, and that's all that really is. I mean, even Zach, when Zach first went heavyweight, he was still rather on the slim side. He's filled out a bit, but he's another one. Very tall, but also very slim. Not Chris Brooks slim, but slim.
It doesn't matter because, you know, his charisma is such that people won't care.
Yeah.
They really won't.
They don't care as it is. They just love him so much.
Let's look at what's been announced so far. NJPW Wrestle Kingdom 19 in Tokyo Dome. So a friend of mine, you know, they told me, hey, they just released a bunch of tickets that only cost 1,000 yen.
What? So, that's like $7 US.
Yes. I mean, just as a comparison, it's their equivalent of like a tenner.
Yeah.
Okay. Roughly, 1,000 yen is basically the equivalent of 10 bucks. It's a good way to like measure how much money you have in terms of thousands, right? Like so 10,000 yen is 100 bucks basically, right? If you just want to keep it simple, not an actual currency conversion to whatever denomination you want to go into. But yeah, it's right now it's $7 US. They released a bunch of seven block of tickets for $7. You know why, Karen? Because no one wants to go to this fucking show, and it's probably the ticket sales are probably reflecting that they're what, 3 weeks away.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, right? we're just over 3 weeks away.
And I bet you the tickets have been on sale for months.
They've been on sale for several months at this point.
And no one's, and probably they're like thinking, shit, no one wants to go to this. Okay, you want to know why no one's going to this? We're gonna run down why no one's gonna. Wants to go to this fuck. If I had lived in Japan still and I had people invite me, I wouldn't even pay $7 to go and see this. This is like, I think it's a colossal waste of time. So Wrestle Kingdom 19 might as well be just retitled, in my opinion. Who fucking cares? 19 in Tokyo Dome. Who's fucking going to this? Nobody. Unless shits and giggles. I'll pay $7 to go see Wrestle Kingdom. All right. And some of these matches I'm going to mention, not bad. In fact, the first one listed here, IWGP Joshi Championship match, Mayu Iwatani versus challenger Azumi. It's her 9th title defense. So she is probably the most decorated champion in this fucking company under this brand. Is she the opener? I don't know. Probably, because they don't respect that title. Even though she's in the top 3 best workers in this fucking company on this show. In fact, she should be the semi-main event. In fact, I would put her in the main event because she's had the best fucking set of matches this year of any of these fucking people, including Zach. You know what I mean? It's not even close. If you look at Mayu Itani's cage match and you look at her 2024 compared to everyone else on this fucking card, it's like, wow, she's the biggest star on the show, to be quite honest with you. You know, but do they think that? They do not. They do not. And those of you who are like, oh, it's finally New Japan got a fucking women's. They don't have a fucking women's division. It's all for show. Okay. And I don't want them to have a fucking women's division because that's how they treat their women's division. They just bought a women's the biggest women's promotion and said, we're just going to call this our women's promotion. No, fuck you. Stardom should be on its own. They should be having their own fucking set of shows that like people are going to go to, which they probably are, instead of Wrestle Kingdom. But anyways, neither here nor there. If this is the opener, I will die laughing because it's so pathetic. It's so pathetic. It's funny. It should not be the opener. It should be super high on the card. You should show some respect to fucking Mayu Iwatani, but they won't. They don't, they have no respect for Stardom or Joshi in general because they, you know, here's my theory, Karen, about that. Cause they fear it. They fear how good it is. You know, that's why I think that's probably one of the reasons they got rid of Ogawa is like they like, you know, like started cutting his legs off booking wise and the and position the power. You don't own it anymore. We keep you around, but like the things you want to do, you can't because we want to put all this talent out there and that's going to screw up your booking plans. And so he left. Like they probably wanted him to leave because they're like, okay, now we can do what we want with this company. Do I think booking and Stardom is as good as it was before Ogawa left? No, I don't think so. Oh, booking wise, Marigold is a much better, like talent wise, they're pretty equal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that. I think they're pretty equal. But booking wise, the way he books title matches and title programs is way better. I thankfully he has not gone overboard with adding titles, like the GHC women's title, notwithstanding, because I don't think that's his idea.
No.
You know, I think it's an obligatory thing he has to put on his shows, for good, better or worse, whatever. But anyways, my soapbox about that is like, anyways. Next match on this card that's listed here, is the Never Openweight Championship. My God, this is probably one of the only good matches on this thing. It's Takagi.
I'm very excited for this match.
It's Shingo Takagi, the current champion, taking on Konosuke Takeshita. And if Takeshita still holds the AEW International belt, which he probably will, it's going to be a double title match. I think Takeshita's winning this belt, you know?
I can see that.
I think he's winning it. I think he's going to be like, and they're going to, and I think probably AEW is going to be like, okay, let's, hopefully, I don't think they're going to do, I don't know what they're going to do with him, but they should. This is what they should do. He wins both titles. He defends both titles on AEW champ, because why not one more title on AEW television? Why not? So yes, I think Takeshita is winning that. This is probably going to be outside of the, I think, Mayu versus Azumi is going to be off the charts good.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be up there. Yes. Takeshita versus Shingo. Next. Oh my God, Karen, I've never seen this before. A four-way for the IWGP Junior Tag Titles. I've never seen that happen at Wrestle Kingdom.
I feel like this is the opener for the show, followed by the women's match.
Sure. But it does. This is how they think about the junior tag titles. They just put it in a four way to get as many people on the card as possible.
Yeah.
Why? Listen, wrestling promoters, you don't have to put everyone on the card. Just give us a good fucking card, okay? That doesn't mean cram as many people as you can onto the show. Anyways, the current champions, Kushida and Kevin Knight, will take on the three teams that challenged them at the end of their tag league, Robbie Eagles and Kosei Fujita, TJP and Francesco Akira, and Clark Connors and Drill Maloney. I don't know who's going to win this match because I don't fucking care. Because like, who cares about these titles? They book it so that no one cares. I challenge anyone to tell me they care about these titles, but who the champions are.
I mean, I care, but but I'm also resigned to the fact that the company has been very indifferent about how they handle this one in particular.
For a long time. For a long time. I think the last people they cared about having these titles were the Young Bucks. That's fucking sad. Anyways, next, NWA, New Japan Pro Wrestling World TV Championship, the TV dinner plate, belt, whatever, the current champion, Ren Narita, take in a three-way. Well, of course. Jeff Cobb, Ryoe Oiwa. He's winning.
That'd be nice.
I think he's got to get the push. He's their prospect. He's like their best hope, you know, because it's certainly not fucking Ren Narita or Shota Umino. Let me tell you that right now.
To tie it back to the previous match, I want Robbie and Kosei Fujita to win the belts.
There you go. It's
the only fresh winner because everybody else has held those belts before.
Sure. Let's go with that. Robbie and Kosei, you have the endorsement of Post Perez. Please win these fucking titles. Please.
Please.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. This actually has a story to it, so I like it. Doki, the current champion, will take on El Desperado in his fifth title defense. Desperado, probably, is winning it.
Probably.
Because why not? Or what?
Or he loses and goes heavyweight.
He's probably winning it.
Probably.
Yes, probably. IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match. Current champion David Finlay taking on Yota Tsuji. I think this is sneaky, a sleeper match. I think this I would
mark this one.
Yeah, I do think Finlay feels like he's going to have something to prove on this huge stage. And like the perfect person for him to work with is Yota Tsuji, who, again, Oiwa, Tsuji, your two best prospects for the future. Okay. Zack Sabre Jr. This is what's listed, folks. I don't know what this is the order, but Karen, you think this is going to be the main event of the show, right?
I'm fairly confident that they are going to have the biggest belt close the show. Fairly confident, but I have been wrong before.
Zack Sabre Jr. versus the wet fart Shota Umino. All right. That's the only thing that prevents me from saying for certainty that this will be the last match, because it's fucking Shota Umino. This guy is a black hole of charisma. I think no one legitimately likes him. He's got a terrible reputation among fans, from what I understand. He's an asshole, apparently. I don't know. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is what the pundits are saying. The peanut gallery, as it were. He's got a bad reputation. Overpush, nepo hire. Never been more evident than it is now. He's a nepo hire, nepo baby, because his dad's the biggest, the top referee in this company. And he sucks. You give him the ball and he doesn't run with it because he doesn't have the charisma. He doesn't have the in-ring talent for it. His gear is horrible. He should be in DDT with that gear. That's how bad it is. It's terrible. He looks like a clown. I would never put the belt on this guy unless he gets complete character and aesthetic makeover. Oh my God. Why is he getting this? It should be Tsuji. Why is it Shota Umino? Nepo hire. And finally, see, I can see this card is so underwhelming. Hiroshi Tanahashi, final road special single match. Tanahashi versus Evil. Oh, it's going to be so bad. It's going to be so bad, Garen. This match, I feel so bad. Tanahashi's not what he was anymore. He's on his last legs. Evil's terrible. It's a complete storyline. Schmoz all over the place. This could be the last match on the show.
That would make me kind of sad. I kind of want Tanahashi to get his match in and out and done. Because it's going to be one of those matches where, like, Evil is going to be doing a lot of work in this match, but he's also going to have a lot of help in the semblance of Sho, Yujiro, Dick Togo, probably Ghetto, and anybody else who has some free time on their hands, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's Wrestle Kingdom, folks. Like, yeah.
Don't worry, you will have mine and Bruce Lord's complete and unfiltered thoughts later that day as we are going to unpack all of Wrestle Kingdom later in the day on January 4th in 2025.
And then Karen and I will unpack it on Post Perez in January as well.
Yeah, and I think John and Wei will also do a quick rundown when they record earlier in that day for their Patreon or whatever. They're planning to do like a short version, and then we get to do the 85 hour NWA podcast format version of it.
Next up, a show that looks infinitely far more interesting, Wrestle Dynasty, the New Japan AW joint show happening the next day at the Tokyo Dome, January 5th. This company, my God, why are you running the Tokyo Dome? I don't know why they keep doing this. It's such a bad idea.
I think the only way that they're kind of getting away with it this time around is that it's a Saturday, Sunday, as opposed to a Thursday, Friday, or Sunday, Monday.
Right.
But, yeah.
Special single match. This is what's been announced so far. Sorry, never open championship match. Whoever the winner of the day before is, which would probably be Takeshita, will take on Tomohiro Ishii. That should be a good match, regardless if it's Takagi or Takeshita. Special single match, Yota Tsuji versus Jack Perry.
All right. Okay. Sure.
Why?
Sure.
Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Ricochet. And just announced, Brody King via phone call challenged David Finlay. Sure. That's okay.
I would earmark that one.
No, I think it'll be great. I think Brody King is such an underutilized big man. And I think all of House of Black is just super underutilized,
agreed.
I do think Malakai Black, kind of a nerd, but like he's a good wrestler. Like you could do something with that dude. Like I remember when he was in NXT as Aleister Black, that guy, I was like, this guy's got, and like obviously Triple H loved him, so it was like, okay, this guy's gonna go far. Nope, because he's short and Vince was still in power at the time. He was on main roster. That's all you need to know. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ricochet. That'll be interesting. I think what would have been a better match, because it's always a good match, is Zack Sabre Jr. versus Will Ospreay.
I'm surprised that neither Will nor Okada have been announced for this show yet. They're both conspicuously absent from both shows.
This one's a four match show so far. There's no way it's only four matches.
Oh no, they've announced more matches.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, I have them written down.
Yes.
No, you're fine.
Please go ahead.
There is the AEW International Women's Cup involving Stardom, AEW, ROH, and CMLL. They are each, I guess, they're each having their own mini tournament and sending a representative to participate in a, I don't know if it's going to be a mini bracketed tournament or what the plan is or what the, what the payoff is, but they're having that. Again, as I said earlier, the IWGP Tag Championships with Okan and Hanari versus the Young Bucks, or sorry, Matthew Jackson and Nicholas Jackson, because they are professional EVPs now. That's still on the card. Claudio Castagnoli has challenged Shota Umino to a special singles match instead of Jon Moxley. And another match that might be really interesting to watch, the return, in-ring return of Kenny Omega against Gabe Kidd.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I assume so far that was our main event, the return to the ring of Kenny Omega.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I'm thinking, you know what? That's probably the most interesting match on the show. Honestly, I think Zach versus Kenny Omega, far more interesting matchup. Yes. And then like Gabe Kidd versus Ricochet is more, I think, of Ricochet's current stature position in AEW is warranting him like more someone like Gabe Kidd. I think Zach should face Kenny. I think I can't remember if that's ever happened. It's certainly not a prominent match, not a main event match. That I can remember.
Give me one second. I'll chase it up while you're talking.
But like Zack Sabre Jr. now versus, the curiosity of how fully healed is Kenny Omega to participate. And you know what? Honestly, what a safe match it would be for Omega, in the sense Zack Sabre's not going to do things terrible to him, are potentially going to re-injure him.
The last time they wrestled in a singles match was the G1 Climax 2018 B Block, where Kenny defeated Zach in 15 minutes and 14 seconds in Kagoshima.
See, I can't even remember that match.
But I had to go to cage match, so full transparency, I that was a Google machine find for me.
There you go. Anyways, that's our Wrestle Dynasty. And you know, I'm far more interested in that card than I am Wrestle Kingdom itself, which is sad to say, but that's where we are. Excuse me. In 2024/2025. Let's move on. Let's plow through some of this other stuff. All Japan's wrapping up their world tag league, the World's Strongest Tag League 2024. I'm not going to go through, I had a bunch of results here, but I'm not going to go through them necessarily. Basically, what we're going to see is the tag league finals are going to be happening at Corken Hall on December 8th, this Sunday. An early show, Karen, 11:30 in the morning. What a great starting time.
That's fantastic.
You can finish, go to Caesarea after. Oh, I eat Caesarea at least three times. Oh, man. Can I tell you my go-to? Okay, my go-to at Caesarea. I get the chicken wings. You get like five pieces. Great, greasy, wonderful. I get the peppuccino spaghetti.
Oh, God, right? I miss peppuccino spaghetti.
And then I order a plate of spinach, horenso spinach, with, you know, like a bit of olive oil in it. Like, right, to season, and then like little pieces of ham that are fried, and you put them in there, and I put that on top of my peppercino spaghetti. It's wonderful.
Sounds so good.
So good. Plus so the drink, good. All you can drink, Nomi Hodai.
We love a Nomi Hodai
drink bar. Anyways,
support for this post wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chop Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from Post Wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/postwrestling.
In the Tag League semifinal match, our B-Block number one team, the team of Kento Miyahara and Dave Boy Smith Jr., will take on the A-Block number two team. So they're doing two semifinal matches, Rising Hayato and Yuma Anzai, who are the current All Asia Tag Team Champions. The second tag semifinal, A-Block number one, the Saito Brothers, undefeated in their block. They have 12 points, that six matches, won all six matches, will take on B-Block number two, Ryuki Honda and Ren Ayabe. My prediction, I think it'll be Miyahara and Smith Jr., taking on Honda, Ayabe, and Dave Boy Smith Jr. is the current Triple Crown champion, so I think he's going to be busy defending that belt on the next set of shows in January during the Wrestle Kingdom week. So I think Honda and Ayabe are going to win it, and they're going to face the current tag team champions, who are the Saito Brothers. So Saito Brothers don't need to win this league. So that's why I think they're going to get defeated, and I think Honda Ayabe are going to win. They're going to get the title shot. But the other thing is like if Miyahara Smith Jr. win, they defeat Anzai and Hayato, then they're going to get an automatic title shot against for the All Asia Tag Titles, which is smart booking. So, and they tend to be pretty conservative and smart with their booking currently in All Japan Pro Wrestling. So there you go. The other matches on this card include Shotaro Shino, Dan Tamura, and Taishin Nagao versus Ryo Inoue, Daisuke Sakamoto, and Kengo Mashimo. Musashi, Seiki Yoshioka, and Kuroshio Tokyo Japan taking on Makoto Oishi, Senior Saito, and Mike DiVecchio. That's the bathroom break match, Karen. Usually I'm good at predicting what the bathroom break match at a Japanese show will be. I once said
that Seiki Yoshioka is lobbed into that particular match.
Listen, like the sheer fact is like the entrance alone from, you know, Kuroshio is bathroom break worthy in of itself. It's so long. I said, listen, Osaka G1 Climax, it was like one of the fucking Tongans. I think it was like fucking Bad Luck Fale versus, I don't know, one of the Tongans or some shit. And I said, this is a bathroom break match on Twitter. I'm like, because it was for me. And I said, oh, it's the bathroom break match for everyone. And this super, super Tongan fan woman on Twitter is like, you're completely wrong. How dare you? And then I just took a picture of the line. I was like, this is the line right now during this match. It was like fucking 30 people deep for the men's bathroom alone. So
that's one of the advantages of being a female at a sporting event. It's the only time in our lives that we get shorter bathroom lines.
No, I every bathroom line I saw was for the women's washroom in my trip. Not for the men's. We take up less space because we can have urinals. Just saying. Garo TV Championship match. By the way, if you think the NWJP World Television Title belt is ugly, my God, the Garo TV Championship title belt is even worse. Go Google it if you don't, if you want.
I've seen it.
You've seen it, yeah?
Not a fan.
Current champion, Sego Tachibana versus challenger Yuko Miyamoto. And that will lead into the Tag League final, which I talked about. Any thoughts, Karen?
No thoughts, just vibes. I hope they have a good end of the year and a good start to the new year.
Me too. Pro Wrestling Noah. This is a card that makes you happy.
Yes.
No, January 1st. I think this is a great date, by the way.
Yeah.
January 1st is a great date because it's definitely going to be a holiday.
Yep.
Right? Because it's New Year's Day. And that's a big thing in Japan. It's more of a big deal. New Year's Day is a bigger deal in Japan than Christmas is.
Correct.
It's not really a Christian country.
Yeah.
The New Year 2025 at Nippon Budokan. Oh, man, I would totally go to this show. I love the Budokan.
I've never been. Like, it's on my list.
Noah the Rumble. Bunch of people. And whoever wins gets the challenge for any GHC title. There you go. GHC Junior Tag Champions three-way match. Oh my God, they've been infected by ghetto booking. The 61st champions, Hayata and Yohei, the reformed Ratels. Oh God, good. I can hate them all at the same time. It's great. take on the challengers of Amakusa and Junta Miyawaki and Alejandro and Kai Fujimura. I'm just going to say Amakusa and Junta Miyawaki are going to win this. New Year Limit Break, Go Shizaki, Muhammad Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, and Hajime Ohara will take on Kazuyuki Fujita, Shuji Ishikawa, Tetsuya Endo, and Black Menzo Ray. Might be an early wash and break match for me. This would be good. Brother versus brother. Dr. Wagner Jr. will take on Galeno Del Mal, his massive unit of a brother, as J.P. Houlihan would say. Oh, by the way, congratulations, J.P. Houlihan.
Yay!
Birth of your daughter. Congratulations. Singles match. Oh, here it is. Talk about this one, Karen.
So, you know, with all the stops along the World Tag League route, Kenno decided to rock up to a very rural tour stop in Kagoshima today and challenge Kenta, and to which Kenta gave him a lot of shit for going, you know, he's like, of all the tour stops, the options you had, this in the middle of nowhere, this Inaka place full of these Inaka people, this is where you decided to show up and challenge me. So in celebration of Noah's 25th anniversary, Kenno extended a singles invitation for a mano-a-mano manly singles match for January 1st. And Kenta said, I have no reason to not accept. I'm free. And yeah, so the gear in this match is probably going to be very, very wonderful. At least on Kenno's side. I don't know if Kent is going to bring out the big match whites or not, but he is coming home. He hasn't been on a Noah card in a while. So I am excited that they're specifically having this match for them.
If he wants to jump back to Noah, like, he's not doing it. They're not using him at all.
I would love to see him back in Japan. Noah.
I think you got some mileage out of him returning to the company that made him famous.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know who's going to win. I'm assuming Kenno will win. But it's going to be very kicky.
But he also does lose a lot against New Japan guys. So
yeah, this is true. They don't really protect their guys in this company.
He doesn't really care either. He's just in it for the match.
Yeah, he just wants to fight Kenta.
Yeah,
you know. GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship match. Daga, the current champion, will take on Ita. This is like a Dragon Gate special.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. GHC National Championship match. Manabu Soya will take on Masakita Miyata. This is a hot battle.
Hot fight! Let's go!
You know what? Put the fucking belt on. You need to do something with Kita Miyata. I just think so underutilized this deal. I mean, I think Soya is awesome. I think having this title has been so great for him. But you know what? Kita Miyata, he's defended. He's got like V3 with the title. Give it to Kita Miyata, man. Give this guy something to do.
Yeah.
GHC Tag Championship match. Current champions Mara Fuji and Sugiura taking on the challengers of Jack Morris and X, the dreaded X. I think it's someone from NXT.
Unless it's Julia, I don't care.
It's Brooks, my boy, Brooks Jensen.
I mean, it's sure.
I can't remember if Brooks Jensen, the one who comes out, he's the son of Bill Buchanan, right?
You're asking the wrong girl. I don't watch NXT anymore.
I gotta double check this. Brooks Jensen, American professional wrestler, Benjamin Buchanan. There you go. He is. You know what? Come out to Journey's Separate Ways, like he did that dark match on NXT that got the crowd pumping in the Performance Center or Full Sail, wherever the fuck they hold these shows. I guess
Performance Center. They haven't been to Full Sail since the pandemic.
So yeah. There you go. Brooks Jensen, give me what I want. That's right. This should be good. The current special singles match, the current United States heavyweight champion, the newly attired new persona, Shinsuke Nakamura. I like this new character, Karen. Have you seen it?
I did. I did watch the show over the Survivor Series. I wanted to call it War Games, but Survivor Series. I did watch. I love a good look, and he's whoever does Shinsuke's hair, send all the New Japan guys with bad haircuts to that guy, because Shinsuke's barber doesn't do him dirty.
No, it's a great look. I like it's kind of a pseudo Muto type again because he's got the mist now.
Yeah,
but I think this is his best look since joining WWE.
Yeah,
so good. It's just like. It's got the cultural vibe to it, like, cause he's kind of wearing, you know, a gi kind of,
yeah.
You know, he's got the Ronin kind of look to him. I love it.
Did he walk out in an old, like, samurai armor mask?
Or yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. He wore like an Oni mask kind of like, you know, that samurai.
I'd be careful with those because armor, you know, in Japan, old armor is haunted. You don't want to be walking around with somebody's ghost on.
I'm going to say it's probably made of carbon fiber that he 3D modeled.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's always the thing where it's like, you know, they have the tourist things where people dress up. Like, wear real samurai armor. No. Put it back. Don't put it on.
And then finally, Kaito Kimio will defend his 8th title defense. That's great. Good. Finally doing this kid some justice.
It only took 4 years.
Yeah. He will defend his title against Ozawa, who's been kind of hounding him as of late on these Noah shows. So I think this is a very fun looking card. I'm totally going to watch it. I'm more interested in Noah than I am in New Japan these days. And like, it's because of cards like this. This is actually a very interesting looking card. You're not trying to throw everybody on it outside of this Rumble thing at the beginning of the show, but that's a dark match. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do think like Soya versus Kitamiya, and definitely Kenno versus Kenta are the most interesting matches for me.
The brother versus brother match might also be
another Hoss battle. It's another Hoss battle.
I love me some Hoss Gibbon.
Let's move on. Marigold. They're going to have a show, big show, on January 3rd at the Oda Ward Gymnasium. It's called Marigold First Stream 2025. Starts at 2:30. So, you know, if you got other shows at 11:30, you might have some time to, like, hop the train and haul your ass down to Oda Ward Gymnasium. Yeah. And so, first they're going to have a New Year Dream Rumble, because why not? Everyone's having a fucking Rumble.
New Year, new Rumbles, baby. It's Rumble season.
GHC. Okay, so the newly minted GHC Joshi Championship. The first champion and her first title defense, Koki Amari, will take on Chika Goto. Did you see the crowning match for this?
I did not, but it was an over-the-top rope battle royal.
Right. Wonderful way to determine your first title, first champion.
Yeah, I would have used it to whittle down to two and then have a wrestling match after that, but not my belt, not my business.
Karen, how dare you, like, have
logic
in the way you would book.
Sorry that I expect more for women's wrestling as a woman who watches the wrestling. My bad.
United National Championship match. Miku Ano will take on her fourth challenger, Mai Sakurai. Is it my time?
I don't know. But the thing is, I believe Mai Sakurai is still the tag champion right now. Hold on a second. Title, there she is. Yeah, she's still the twin star champion with Mirai. I would sooner think that Mirai would be the next, if someone's going to dethrone Aono, it's going to be Mirai before it would be Sakurai.
There you go. So probably she's not winning it. I think you got something with Migano as the first champion and having a long, you know, having like V7, V8, I think would be a really good way to establish that belt.
Yeah.
Our main event will be whoever the winner of the Sari versus Nanai Takahashi match on 12/13 will be for the Marigold world title match for the world title. Sorry. We'll take on the challenger Futami Hayashishida. I think it's going to be Sari going into this
yes,
match.
I agree.
I think that's a natural story, right?
Yes. She is the outsider who came in and became the first champion over everybody. So.
And I think this is where you say, okay, Utami's our ace. This is where you crown Utami as the ace of Marigold. So
especially
that's
they're having a show during WrestleMania week in Las Vegas. So if you're going to walk in there if you want a champion, you bring Utami in as champion to that venue.
Sticking with Joshi, Oz Academy is going to have a...
Look at you with Joshi. I'm so proud of you.
I just thought these were interesting cards. Like Eternal Spark at Osaka on December 15th with a noon starting time. Toyonaka City 176 Box. That's the name of the venue in Osaka. Itsuki Aoki versus Honoka. Ryo Mizunami. And Sunoko Kato versus Maya Yukihi and Kakaru. And Sariano going all over the place. She's working so many different places recently versus Momoka Hanazu. And then we're going to have Oz Academy Pioneer Championship three-way match. Mayumi Ozaki. OG. Ozaki's an OG, and Joshi will take on Kari Oyama without the makeup as Death in Stardom. And the person with the makeup, Ram Kaicho. There you go. Akino, Tsubasa Kuragaki, and Kohaku will take on Hiroyo Matsumoto, Rina Yamashita, and Zones.
I think it's pronounced Zones.
I don't care. It's now,
I think,
Stones.
But yeah, but with my Mayumi Ozaki, she puts the OZ in Oz Academy. So
that's
she's
true.
The big boss lady.
It is. She's yeah.
Oz Academy is one that I don't really get to watch because it's one of the more difficult ones to come across. And the wrestler age, like the average wrestler age, tends to be a little older. But you have a lot of veterans that work on this particular show, and they don't have shows as frequently as like your Stardoms and your Tokyo Joshi Pros, but they are one worth chasing up.
And then another card under the Eternal Sparkle banner on December 30th at 11:30 at Korakuen Hall, Rina Yamashita versus Sayaka Unagi, Jagger Yokota talking about OGs, and Itsuki Aoki versus Maya Yukihi and Kakuro. How do you spell say this?
I don't even know. Kakeru Uoi?
Ram Kaicho versus Zones.
No idea.
I say it was the Gravitas, Karen.
Zones.
Akino, Tsubasa Kuraki, and Kohaku taking on Kaori Yoyama, Hiroyo Matsumoto, and Momoka Hanazono. Sariano versus Mayumi Ozaki. There's a lot of history between these two.
Mm-hmm.
Sari and Mayumi Ozaki. And the most interesting match on both nights, the Oz Academy Tag Team Championships, will be defended by the current champions Ryo Mizunami and Sunoko Kato, and they will be taking on Fukuoka
Double Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Hazuki and Koguma from Stardom for title fans. I'm predicting a title change.
Yes. But that's also why I don't think Hazuki is beating Mercedes Moné next weekend at New Japan Strong Style Evolved.
No. TJPW. Yeah. We're going to talk about some TJPW.
My heart is so full right now.
So, well-known idol. Yep. From SKE48, Sakae, which is a suburb of Nagoya. Yuki Arai, she's an idol who started doing wrestling for primarily for Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. She says she's going to retire from idol work from SKE48 as of March of 2025, and she will continue to pursue her career as a pro wrestler. That's a big deal, I feel.
It is, because usually in Japan, like we call them kind of like a girl group machine. Like the OG is probably Morning Musume, where people will come into the group and they tend to age out in their mid 20s. So Arai is 26 years old right now. So it's probably about time that she were to choose whether she wants to go embark on a solo career as a singer or work as a professional wrestler. So I find it interesting that she's opting for the, I'm going to go full throttle towards pro wrestling as opposed to a solo career as an idol. But I mean, if it makes her happy, it'll be a hard adjustment for the SKE48 fans, because she seems to be, they've always felt a bit torn when she gets pulled from shows or has to arrange her touring schedule around her wrestling or vice versa.
Speaking, you mentioned Morning Musume. I'm a big fan, by the way. And congratulations to Ayumi Ishida. She just graduated last night from Morning Musume after 13 years in the group.
I mean, right. Morning Musume was a big thing when I was in Japan like 20 years ago. But that's the thing, is that these groups, they just keep cycling.
Yeah, no, it's a generational. Morning Musume is a generational group. So they age out and then they have auditions and they create new,
they bring people in.
They bring new members in. They're on their 17th generation, Karen.
Oh my gosh.
So Ayumi is like 10th generation. She is the second oldest reigning member of the current group. The current leader, Irina Ikuda, is from the 9th generation. She's announcing her graduation this year. And in 2025, she's graduating. And then finally, 11th generation member Sakura Oda will finally become leader of Morning Musume. And I'm here for fucking that to happen. Great leader. Great. She's great with her kohais in general. So I think she'd be make a great official leader of the group. But anyways, back to Toki Joshi Pro Wrestling. No one really cares about my idol.
I'm very invested right now.
In my idol talk here. They're going to have a 20 wrestler Princess Rumble because also on this show, TJPW Rush 5 vs. 5 special elimination match. Susume Arisu Endo, Moka Miyamoto, Yoshiko Hasegawa, Haru Kazashiro, Toga, Shino Suzuki, and Takami Uta. Teams are to be decided via lottery. So these are the participants. We just don't know what side they're going to be on. Queen of Asia in VPW Women's Double Championship match. Double champion Yuki Kamifuku, she who used to be the farm girl, right? Her character was the farm girl, as I recall.
She wears a lot of denim. That's all I know.
Yeah. You know, she came up to like some version of Old MacDonald had a farm. Maybe not anymore, but I think that's it. Well, she's going to take on Lei Ying Li. And I don't know who's going to win this because I'm not familiar with Lei Ying Li.
She is formerly WWE's Xia Li.
Oh, there you go.
So, and she was supposed to be on a tour earlier in the fall, but with visa issues, she had to delay it. So it is possible that it depends on how much or how, well, I mean, a lot of their international champions haven't really been there with a long time unless they move over there. So it's possible that they could put the belt on her as neither of those belts are actually Tokyo Joshi Pro belts.
There you go. January 4th, Tokyo Joshi Pro's annual show at Korakuen Hall at the competitive time of 11 a.m. Princess Tag Championship match, the 17th champions, Miyu Yamashita and Maki Ito. Like, this is like the mega powers of fucking TJPW.
Yes, they are.
We'll take on the challengers of Masha Slamovic. I love Masha Slamovic. She's fucking awesome.
She's great.
And Zara Zakir, third title defense. Maybe we'll see a title change here. Do you have a thought?
Well, no. Zara Zakir was one of the recent WWE ID prospects that was signed. So I don't know if they're going to put a belt on someone who's possibly in a WWE pipeline program.
We'll see. You never know. Japanese promotions tend to be marked for the WWE, I feel.
Well, yes, there's that too.
International Princess Championship match. Yuki Arai will take on the challenger of Suzume. This is her 7th title defense. Maybe it's Suzume's time to become the new princess, international princess champion.
It's possible.
One of my favorites, Shoko Nakajima and her little tail. Versus Hyper Masao and her bicycle, maybe.
Probably.
And finally, the Princess of Princess Championship match, their big title. Our 14th champion, Miyu Watanabe, will take on the challenger of Mizuki. I gotta say that with gravitas, like zones. Mizuki. 6th title defense.
Yep.
These shows tend to sell out. Like the Korakuen Hall shows on the 4th, just because it's like a nice way to fill out your day before. If you go into Wrestle Kingdom, you're probably going to see at least one or two shows before Wrestle Kingdom the same day. I did that.
And this card is scheduled to have between 9 and 10 matches. So this is only less than half of the card right now.
Continue with Joshi. Sendai Girls. Hey, can I just say, I've been watching Sendai Girls semi-regularly. It's because it's easy to watch and there's some really good wrestling there. Just beyond like Mako's like winding up, right? She had this match with fucking Sariana at Korakuen recently. It was so good. Go out, cut your way. Some other big show and you got a card. Where is it? I actually have it. Hold on a sec. I made a note of it. It's from Sendai Girls Big Show in Niigata at the Niigata Civic Gymnasium in Niigata, Japan, of course. That was on the November 9th. It was the main event, Mako versus Sari. Great match. Ah, Just, you know what? If you're like me and you find it hard to find carve the time, Sunday Girls is so easy. Usually it's no more than 2 hours. Maybe, and then you can just skip. I just skip some of the undercard. I go to the matches I want to watch. It's so easy.
And there's not a lot of convoluted booking. It's very straightforward.
That's great. That's what I love about it. Anyways, they're having a big show in their hometown, home region of Sendai. By the way, Ayumi Ishida from Sendai. So, December 8th, this is the coming Sunday at the Sendai Sun Plaza Hall. The card is this: Sendai Girls World Junior Champion, their ninth champion, Chi-Chi, will take on Yuna in her first title defense. Second match on the card, Manami versus Zones. Aja Kong, Mai Yukihi, and Sayaka Unagi, and X versus Hiroyu Matsumoto, Ryo Mizunami, Miyuki Takase, and Yura Suzuki. Miyuki Takase is like, she just changed her name to Urasai! Because she's fucking loud. She just likes to scream all the time. Like, yell at her opponents and stuff. Chihiro Hashimoto and you take on the team of Mika, Iwata, and Sari. Holy shit. That's going to be fucking hard-hitting.
Did you order some murder?
Well, who's murdering who? I mean, like, Mika, Iwata, and Sari.
Precisely.
Jesus. What a team. Sendai Girls World Tag Team Championship match. The 21st champions, Venny and Lena Cross, who defeated Chihiro and you, will take on the challengers of Yuriko Oka and Mio Momono. I love Mio Momono. He's just firecracker, this one.
Yes.
Fuck.
Much energy.
And the Sendai Girls World Championship, Dash Chisako, who recently defeated Mika Wada for that title, will take on her mentor and the challenger, Meiko Satomura. Fuck, that's going to be violent.
Yes, and when Dash challenged Meiko for it, she kind of had the same approach that Mayu Iwatani had with Kairi, was that she's like, for 18 years I've been in your shadow, and you left, and I stayed, and I want to show you everything I've learned while with you and while you were gone. So it's going to be a great match. And I have to, this is my homework for this weekend, actually, because I haven't had time to watch it. But Satomura also wrestled against Mika Iwata on the 30th of November. So I've been told there are really great things about that match.
You know, Mako's kind of on a tear. She's back in her home promotion.
She is.
She's having these big singles matches. Like, I think she made the smart decision. Like, okay, my road to retirement is going to be on my turf in Sendai Girls.
Yep. And I love that.
And she's got a good crop of her students becoming stars in that company: Chihiro, mm-hmm. Dash, Mika, and, you know, I just think with Sendai, it's just like, I feel like I'm supporting independent wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, cause it's not a huge promotion. They keep it grassroots
far away from Tokyo. They're up there, up in the north part of the country.
You know what? You know, Karen's a bucket list. I have to see a prominent Sendai girl show in the future. And I would like to do it in Sendai, not in Korakuen Hall.
I mean, the one I saw was in Korakuen Hall and it was great, but I want to I've never been to Sendai, so I want to check that off. Double check it. Visit the city, go see the girls.
All right. By the way, my goal of trying to do this under 2 hours has been failed spectacularly. But we're having a good time, so it doesn't matter. Dragon Gate news. So they recently, Dragon Gate recently had their big King of Gate tournament wrap up on December 3rd at Korakuen Hall in front of 1,192 spectators. The finals of the King of Gate tournament was Kota Minora taking on Dragon Dia. And Dragon Dia won with the Reptilian Rana. So, and with that win, Dragon Dia gets to make a challenge for the Dreamgate title. So he's going to take on current champion Yamato. But Dia is also the Bravegate title holder, which is like their version of like the IC title.
Yeah.
And so it will be a double title match between the Dreamgate and the Bravegate champions on December 15th in Fukuoka. Love Fukuoka. Great seafood. Great seafood there. Formerly home of Hakata Star Lanes. One of the seediest but great fun, fun venues that no longer exists, unfortunately, in professional wrestling in Japan. But at Final Gate 2024, December 15th at Fukuoka International Center, Shun Skywalker and Homare will take on Naomichi Marufuji and Takashi Sugiura. What a match that is. Excuse me. And of course, the aforementioned double championship match between Yamato and Dragon Dia. I'm kind of curious if I'm going to try to use that show to kind of jump back in on Dragon Gate Cold. So we'll see. We'll see. Shinjiro Otani Aid Show. Happy New Year and Shinjiro Otani Aid. Get back up again and again. This is happening on January 1st at 11:30 at Korakuen Hall. This is the card for that benefit show. Satsuki Nagao and Fuminori Abe will take on Hikaru Sato and Mizuki Watase. Excuse me, I just, taking time to clear my throat.
You're fine.
Sugutaka Sato and Yuki Toki will take on Shuji Kondo and Koji Doi. Joshi tag match Jaguar Yokota and Aja Kong taking on Chihiro Hashimoto and Yurika Oka. Yurika Oka is like Chihiro's like regular partner when she's not teaming with you, I feel.
Yeah, she's also one of the younger Sendai girls born and bred talents.
Ryo Hoshino and Izami Kodaka will take on Junya Matsuga and Yuko Miyamoto. Shoki Kitamura and Leo Isaka will take on Yuya Aoki and Tatsuya Hanami. You know the deal with Leo Isaka, Gary?
As the only male wrestler in Marvelous?
Yes. he's just lent out,
because they don't have other men to wrestle him.
Not so. Necessarily. I mean, I do think he does wrestle the women as well, right?
I don't know. I don't get to watch Marvelous all that often.
No,
usually it's a match whenever they release a free match here and there. But I don't really think they do intergender there. But I could be wrong.
International and World Junior Double Championship match. Seiki Yoshioka will take on the challenger of Takumi Baba. Well, let's hope this show does really well, good attendance, and people donate a lot of money.
To help
with Shinjiro Otani's medical bills. Continuing on the indie scene, Tenryu Project, Light My Fire, Volume 8. I wonder if they use the song by The Doors. December 15th at Shinkiba First Ring in Tokyo. Koki Iwasaki versus Mizuki Watase versus Takahiro Katori. Shigehiro Irie versus Sushi. I can make a joke there, but I won't. Kenichiro Arai versus Ayumu Honda. Hikaru Sato versus Daichi Hashimoto. Yuya Susumu, Kengo, and Yusuke Kodama versus Koji Iwamoto, Oji Shiba, and Takuro Niki, and Meiko Satomura, and Mika Wada versus Dash Chizako, and Chihiro Hashimoto. This is the Sendai Girls offer match, obviously.
One I would highly recommend watching.
Oh, for sure. United National Tag Championship match, Kohei Sato and Masayuki Kono will take on the challengers of Hideyoshi Kamatani and Kazumasa Yoshida.
Do you want me to do the Great Baba 25th Anniversary Show?
Sure.
Give your voice a break.
Sure.
So for the Giant Baba 25th Anniversary Memorial, it's the Taiyo Keiya Retirement Show with Fumito Kihara Ring Announcer Debut 35th Anniversary Commemoration Show. So they're celebrating a lot of stuff. That'll be January 31st, 2025 at Korakuen Hall. The Leaf presents Limit Break, 8-man tag match featuring Mohamed Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, Hajime Ohara, and Yu Owada versus Yuki Onaya, Yuki Ishida, Yuya Koroku and Tomomitsu Matsunaga. You have the Tokyo Yankees versus the Z-Brats tag match featuring WH Park's favorite wrestler, Kuroshiro Tokyo Japan, and Seigo Tachibana versus Kota Minora and Kai. A special street fight tornado bunkhouse 8-man tag team death match. Say that 5 times fast. Featuring Atsushi Onita, Ryuichi Fire Kawakami, Raijin Yaguchi, and Yuko Miyamoto versus Jun Kasai, Shuji Ishikawa, Masashi Takeda, and Black Mansoure. That one's going to be a little crazy. The 25th anniversary of Giant Baba's passing, Taiyo Keio's retirement, 6-man tag match featuring Taiyo Keio, Minoru Suzuki, and Mazda versus Jun Akiyama, Naomichi Marufuji, and Satoshi Kojima with special referee Kyohei Wada. And also announced to compete is Jinsei Shinzaki, Hikaru Sato, Masao Inoue, Naruki Doi, Koji Iwamoto, Fumi Nori, Abe, and more! Unless I missed an update from WH Park.
No. So just as a background note, Taiyo Keio is formerly Manakea Mossman. He was one of the last students of Giant Baba before his death. In All Japan Pro Wrestling, he changed his name to Taiyo Keio when the post-exodus of the Noah guys leaving. And he's former multi-time tag team champion in All Japan with Keiji Muto, with Jamal, aka Umaga. Great tag team, Taiyo Keio and Umaga. Fuck, what a great tag team that was. Also with Minoru Suzuki when they were. Basically, they were Suzuki Gun in All Japan before Suzuki did his super long stint in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So Masada was also part of that, along with Masada. Masada are like regular tag team partners, but they were affiliated with Minoru Suzuki in All Japan Pro Wrestling, along with Taiyo Keio. Former Triple Crown champion. He's done it all, basically. So he's retiring, and hey, you know what? Great for him. He's had a great career, I feel. Should be good. And he's taken on Jun Akiyama, one of his peers in the dojo and in All Japan Pro Wrestling. And then, Kojima, one of his rivals during Kojima's time in All Japan Pro Wrestling, and Marufuji. One of Kea's like fucking kohais. Like he was a dojo boy when Keio was actually like, okay, trying to rise through the ranks along with Akiyama in All Japan Pro Wrestling. So there's a lot of history in that match. And man, my God, 25 years since the passing of Giant Baba. You know,
wow.
Sad. It's his passing sparked a revolution in pro res with the, you know, Misawa said, okay, He's dead. NTV were like, okay, we're going to hitch our, you're the biggest star. We're going to hitch our, that never would happen while Baba was still alive. I guarantee it, Karen, never would happen while Baba was still alive. But that's it. That you ran down all these shows. I think a lot of these shows, New Japan notwithstanding, sound really interesting. It's going to be a great several weeks in Japan. If you're a pro wrestling fan, if you have a chance to see them in some of these shows, I honestly think like, the Noah show, the Sendai Girls stuff, so some of the other Joshi independent shows, highly recommend. The Margo show, I think, is going to be awesome. If I could go to the Taiyo Keio retirement show, I would go to that. That's one I would earmark to try to go. Like, I also think this Tenru Project show at Shin Kiba, Jesus, fuck, sign me up if you're going to have like the Sendai Girls tag match on that thing and it's in first string. Fuck. Wish I was there to see this stuff, but hey, you know what? I just spent 3 weeks there, so I'm okay. any final thoughts? What we got coming up for Karen Peterson?
In the realm of Karen Peterson, Bruce Lord and I will be getting the band back together on the 16th of December to review New Japan's Strong Style Evolved from the Walter Pyramid in Long Beach, California. And then we will see you guys in 2025 for the Wrestle Kingdom review. There might be a little surprise in between here and there, but we're still working on the logistics for it all. For those with such a Joshi heavy episode of Post Pro Res, the Dream Slam Monthly Volume 23 just came out last weekend, highlighting Mako Satomura's upcoming, very quickly filling up dance card for her retirement tour, which will culminate on April 29th, 2025. And then volume 24, the last of 2024, will be out on December 28th. For those who follow the Stardom Cast, a non-post family podcast, I did do a best five of Kairi roundup. Surprise, surprise. You probably know who all the names are on that list, but that's only available on their Patreon. So it's not for the freeloaders. You got to pay up. And then you and I, we're catching up rather late in January for the first Post Pro Res of 2025. After all the New Year's shows happen for the most part around January 10th.
Yeah. Myself, I don't have anything. I got to do something with Rich Fan, I think, from the end of the year. I've got to talk to Rich about this.
For MCU later.
For MCU later. So that's probably sometime before the 31st. I got to talk to him about that. no long and winding road for this month. I just don't have the time or energy for it. But
last month was pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was excellent. So as you don't know, Karen was our guest on that show. I do have an idea for a guest and a match to talk about. So I have to contact the person I would like to talk to. Hopefully they are not too busy in January. I have to ask them that. And if they're willing to talk about this match, that's all I'm going to say because it's not solidified yet. But hey, you know what? This is a great episode. I had really good fun. Even though I'm super tired, always a pleasure. Makes me Genki to talk to my good friend Karen Peterson here.
You make me Genki too, which means energetic and full of life.
So does
that. For those who don't know what Genki means.
With that note, hey, you know what? Hey, everyone, have a great holiday season, whatever you celebrate. Don't drink and drive. Don't eat too much. See, Zelda's growling. Don't eat too much, you fucking humans.
No, she's like, wrap it up, Park. Mom's gonna take me out.
I'm sorry, Zelda. All right. That being said, hey, everyone, enjoy your holidays, and hey, happy New Year, everyone. I'll see you in the New Year. And Karen, you have a great holiday. I'm sure we'll talk privately and stuff.
We do.
Have a happy New Year and happy holidays, and say hello to Mama Peterson. Mama Peterson, I know you're a big fan of WH Park. All right. And until next time, I'll say goodbye.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from Geico for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big Geico surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious Geico ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with Geico commercial insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.